Well, now I need to talk to you about both of the scriptures, which is interesting and fun. How many of you know about Proverbs?
Very little.
Very little. It's a very powerful book that if you read, this one probably in whole Bible is the most practical, pragmatic, cut kind of throw advice book. It may intimidate you too. This book has no space for being indirect or being nice, as you probably heard it. In a way, it's black and white of showing that a way living as wise and living as fool. And it just constantly repeat that way. And supposedly this is written by the most famous, one of the most famous kings in the whole Bible, King Solomon. So it is very irony though that his own very son who succeeded him failed to observe any of that and caused the kingdom to be divided. He lost about 80% of kingdom right away and never gained it back. Anyway, if you read this, this is by the man who was probably known as the smartest, the wisest man in whole Bible, who was wealthiest too, who had 700 wives and 300 concubines.
Wow.
Busy man. Yeah, so he had it all, okay? You can probably picture him as, yes, as far as a single man can imagine, he had them all. The wealth, the kingdom, the army, the wisdom, the health, the handsomeness, the many women. He had them all. But yet, if you read him very carefully, he's kind of constantly speaking that none of them really make him happy. None of those things that he possessed was really making him content and satisfied. Somehow there's a hole that is constantly speaking out that is never filled. And in his whole section of this proverb, also saying the last line is quite interesting. At the end of the day, you just want to have a drink, right? And feel good about your day and go to bed with a smile. Wouldn't that be nice? And get up next morning feeling like, hey, I'm going to have a good day. In a way, isn't that all that probably make all of us happy? Somehow, it doesn't happen that often. How many days in a week we go to bed feeling like, hey, I had a good day. I'm going to have a drink. I'm going to have a good night's sleep. And the morning you wake up, you feel good, gonna have a good day again. How many days in the 7 days did you feel that way? Not that many. That's sad. Mm-hmm. More you have, less you may have this feeling. So, in a way, then what is it? What does it mean to be wise? What does it mean to be smart? That's the whole question in this whole book of Proverbs asking. What does it really mean to be wise? Does it mean to be successful? Does it mean to gain a lot of things that other people cannot gain? Obviously, it all is part of it, actually. In here, it does not promote you have to be like humble, beggar, or really poor. This whole Proverbs also suggests that you have to be successful, you have to have your food, you need to be smart to gain, you need to be smart not to lose. It's all there. But to really satisfy your heart, there is something else. And that something else, and he's pointing out, it's from God. A human hand cannot forge it. Somehow you have to seek it, ask it to God to give it to you. This was the man who was known as wisest, wealthiest man, saying that there's something that in my heart, essential to my heart to feel content, that I cannot make it to happen. And knowing that probably is beginning of wisdom. Yes, gold. And made by those ancient people, priceless. Why? It can replace them. In a way, even if you have money, you may not be able to buy them. We call those things treasure. And in my research, I did a little research about this thing we call treasure. Because some people are actually risking their lives, even nowadays, to find things called treasure. The treasure is somewhat just some big amount, abundance of wealth, in a way, in a very simple way. Which means, in terms of nowadays, when we call treasure means it goes to a lot of money in a very simple way. So why having a lot of money is really good? And the truth is, or in ancient days, wealth. Well, if you have money, you can eat. You can buy a house. You can secure life for your children, and maybe children after children. In a way, ancient times, what people were thinking, wishing was what? Securing the survival of themselves and their children. And that was their biggest interest. And kind of gaining wealth was somewhat way in terms of that. Well, then it became something else. Wealth also brings you fame. Wealth can also give you power. And that's where things become quite gray and then ugly. And then we're living in a world that this, I call it age of merchants. There was age of kings, there was age of priests, age of merchants. In terms that you hear a lot, I hear a lot that there's nothing that you can buy with money. And even some people say we can buy even humans by money. And to a degree that has truth in it, of course, it shouldn't be that way. Sometimes we face these occasions that people kind of talk about the value of each other in terms of money. Like, oh, you're paid $100 per hour, so you're worth $100. Oh, he's paid $500 per hour, so he's worth more than you. Is that really true? Well, we want to deny that's not really true at all, but in this world of human society, we're living somewhat in that reality. Now, Jesus is saying, there's heavenly treasure. So I was thinking about, so treasure, wealth, this is the way that we feel how worthwhile we are, and then maybe it connects to ourself asked him in a way. The way that we see how valuable we are. And I believe none of us wants to be not valuable or not important. Now, if you want to show to the world that you're a really valuable person, what's the best or easiest way to do it? In a way, if you have money, that kind of may give you easier access. It seems easier. Or gaining higher possession, maybe higher status, become more influential person, I don't know, famous. That somehow way kind of gives you the feeling that you're becoming more and more important. And obviously we have lived those I believe teenage life and young adult life, that who likes to be the dark shadow person that when you walk into the room, nobody really noticed you. Nobody likes that. Yet, how many shining stars can you have in a group of people? Kind of interesting. So when I was looking at it, Jesus is kind of connecting treasure with the heart. So to me, it's not about just money. It's not just about just wealth. It's something that we really believe to be important. Something that for which you are using your time and passion every day. That's your treasure. That's, to me, it is. The way you have 24 hours, this is one of my favorite things to do. You get to hear that a lot too. You have 24 hours a day. How do you spend them? You spend them. One way or another, as soon as you wake up, time goes. And you do things. And one way or another, Monday after that is Tuesday comes, and Wednesday comes, and Thursday comes, and there's another week goes. And another month goes. Another year goes. How do you spend them? What fills these time of yours? And if you can identify something that occupies, like, a whole bunch of your time and energy, that may be your treasure. Now, the question from the deeper question that I see from Jesus is that, does that give you dissatisfaction? Does that satisfy you? If it's not, it may not be heavenly treasure. I know it's kind of not that black and white, but sometimes it is. Jesus is trying to tell us there is heavenly treasure. When we have it, it will last forever. That means inner satisfaction, joy, peace, good stuff. King Solomon confessing that he could not make it happen. With his wisdom, wealth, and power of army, he could not have it. So it has to come from God. And it has to and what Jesus is saying is that it has a connection to where heart is. The things and matters that occupies our heart at the most, either we agree or not, they are, or it is, our treasure. Now the important, real important thing to notice in here is that if that's not heavenly, that's not in connection with God, it may give us this temporary feeling of fulfillment, completion, but it will not give you this satisfaction that Proverbs is saying that at the end of the day, you feel good. Maybe you know why. Maybe you don't know why. Maybe you don't need to know why. When you have lived a good, fruitful life in a way that is connection with your God, at the end of the day, it may just feel good. And what you do may not be that much of easy to have it as a black and white. We're living in a city, and each one of us have, except me, jobs that you work in the world. And if you're thinking of heavenly treasure or life in Christ as just being nice to people, just in that context, well, that may not be the advice of Jesus or the Proverbs. Spiritual life, living a spiritual life does not just mean just being nice to people. or just yielding to everybody, or just giving, or sharing. That is a good thing, but the advice from the proverb is in a way very clear that, do you see a good result with your sharing? When you yield to somebody, do you see a good result out of it? Or are you just being naively nice? That I'm a Christian, I shouldn't argue. I'm a Christian, I should not say anything that's bad. The connection that I was trying to make is that we somehow make ourselves valuable and we want to be valuable. That sometimes somehow makes us satisfied. Yet, when we are trying to connect that into spiritual life, we feel somewhat conflict that should I really be Christian and loving, and at the same time, should I do this too? Because there's a conflict. But the wisdom from Proverbs and Jesus is saying that there is none, actually. That's why what Jesus is saying is heart. Where is your heart? What is your motivation here? What is your intention here? What is it really that you want to accomplish with this thing? Jesus was very, very challenging person to see, probably. And I ask this question to a lot of people. If you were to have 1 hour with Jesus, would you like to? Wow. I'm a little scared, actually. Why? If you read the gospel, he is the most direct, person. He will tell to you the worst things that you don't want to hear from anybody else. He knows, he'll tell you. Why? You have to hear that. And why? Because he loves you. He really loves you to the point that he doesn't care how you think of him, but only he cares that if it's good for you, he'll do it for you. We call it tough love, but it's beyond tough love even. It's called unconditional love. But this is not something, unconditional love, not in the way that so nice, and so just nice and nice and nice. That's not the love that you read in the Gospels. So when Jesus is saying, where is your heart? Another question that I was asking, what do you treasure? Another question that I would ask is, where do you spend your time? And last question I'd like to ask is, are you conscious of it? Are you conscious of what you're doing? I'm not even saying to be good or bad or to be useful, but are you conscious of your being and living? If not, that should be the beginning. If so, then you can think about more. God has given you this gift that you can be so. You have a mind, you have a brain, good enough to be conscious of. And in so, there's a blessing. God is love. We shall be loved. Amen.